Pentecost. It's kind of the forgotten holiday of the church year, at least in our society. It doesn't have all of the warm fuzzies of Christmas with the baby Jesus and all of, you know, snow and lights and all of the things we do around Christmas time. It doesn't have the glitz and glamour and springtime celebration and brightness of Easter. But every year, we gather 50 days after Easter, and we tell the same old story about the same old church receiving the same old Spirit. And it's this thing that we do over and over and over again. And yet, the story isn't just about something that happened once a long time ago. It shouldn't be anyway. It shouldn't just be an old story. It shouldn't just be this spirit that these people back in Jerusalem met with tongues of fire 2,000 years ago. Because the story is about something new. And it's about a spirit that may be eternal and have existed before we can even imagine, and yet that same old spirit is always doing something new. The spirit and newness go hand in hand. One click. And so, the reason we read from the NIV, or Kathy read from the NIV translation, because this translation is really boring when it talks about Genesis 1. Okay, so in our translation, our Pew Bibles, it says this. It says, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. But that's not really the image of Genesis 1. It is this word that can mean wind, but it's also the word for spirit. It's the word ruach. Can you say that? Get a good back here. Ruach. It means wind or spirit. And the spirit isn't just sweeping over the water. The word that is translated sweeping in this Bible is translated in the NIV hovered. Because the image is of a bird hovering over her nest, getting ready for her eggs to hatch, for new life to come out into the world. And that is what the spirit is doing at creation, hovering over this nest and waiting for new life to spring up. The Spirit is always doing something new. The Pentecost story and what Peter preaches on Pentecost, we skipped over a little bit this morning, dates back at least about 400 years to the prophet Joel. And the prophet Joel was speaking at a time when there was a lot of anxiety and worry and feelings like we're losing a grip on this whole Israel, God's plan thing. And Joel, the Spirit of the Lord, came into the prophet Joel and called him to preach something new, that God was doing something new, that he was going to enter into not just kings and prophets, but he was going to enter into all people, old and young, men and women, free and slave, everyone, every portion of society. God's Spirit was going to come and do something new among them. We find the Spirit at Jesus' baptism, descending on Jesus like a dove. And that is when Jesus' ministry begins. The Spirit begins to do something new in the life of this man from Nazareth. In Pentecost, the way Luke tells the story is essentially the church's baptism. And just as the Spirit moved Jesus to do new things in the world by the grace and power of God, the Spirit moves the church on Pentecost to a new kind of ministry, to a new way of being human, to a new way of being community. The Spirit is the same Spirit. In all of these stories, the Spirit of God, but it's always doing something new. You see, in the time of Jesus, there was an overarching desire to do one of two things. One, and this was the approach of many of the leaders that Jesus faced off against, was to preserve what Israel had, to preserve the temple, to preserve the ancient traditions, to preserve this people that was being occupied by Rome and under pressure and worried about being stamped out. They wanted to preserve this thing, this institution. Or they wanted to go back. They wanted to recover the days, the glory days of David and Solomon. And there is indeed so much rich in the spiritual traditions of Israel. But the problem was that as they sought to preserve the institution or recover a time gone by, they couldn't make space for a new thing that the Spirit was doing in the life of Jesus. And so, as Jesus, with this new idea, this new way, this new revelation of God, as Jesus walked through the earth and taught and healed and did all of these things that Jesus did, there was always resistance to this new thing, this new revelation, this new vision of God, this new way that both got to the heart of the law. They didn't understand that Jesus was bringing to life the heart of their traditions and their teachings. And also to the heart of each person who heard him. You see, Jesus refused to say that the problems of the world can be solved by fixing things out there. He said the problems of the world begin, as Peter says, when you repent, when you turn to God and are baptized and receive the Spirit who is doing this new thing. And so the Spirit is eternal and unchanging. Jesus, Hebrews tells us, is the same yesterday and today and forever. God is the eternal God from beginning to end. But the one thing that is consistent in the character of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is that God is always doing a new thing. He's always creating new life. The Spirit is always turning people in new directions. And so 100 years later, well, 100 years since 1917 anyway, we have the same old church, began 100 years ago, telling the same old story of Pentecost. And we have sought in many ways to tell our story over the past few weeks and a few months of this anniversary year. And I have friends who are pastors in churches that are 300 and 400 even years old on the East Coast, congregational churches that were planted in the time of the Pilgrims and the Puritans, and they have rich traditions. You could talk to people in Europe, pastors in Europe, who've been around far longer than that, right? And when you've been around for a century or 4 centuries or 12 centuries or more, it's normal to get into preservation mode. We have something that must be preserved. When you're a church like us that's been declining in membership and money for as long as we have, for decades, it's easy and normal to get into recover the past mode. But neither of those have anything to do with the Spirit. And those are not the Spirit of the church. Because God didn't create on Pentecost a people called the church to be preserved for centuries on end. Hang on to what they had. He created a people called the church by the Spirit to bring new life and inspire new ways of being human, of being community, of being the people of God. And so many of us, personally, I think, can identify with that too. Not just as a church, but personally, many of us are in survival mode or preservation mode. Hang on to what we have. Don't lose what we've gained individually, whether it's our kids or our grandkids, our families, our retirement accounts, whatever it is. Don't lose it. Just hang on. And that's normal, and that's natural. Especially when you've worked hard for it. Especially when you've sacrificed to save and create a future for yourself. But ultimately, the Spirit wants to do something new. The same old Spirit has the same old mission to do a new thing and create new life. And so on this Pentecost, let's think for a moment about our individual futures. Individually, what is the Spirit doing new in you? And maybe you have no idea because you're stuck in that preservation survival mode. So on this Pentecost, learn something new. This week, learn something new. This summer, learn something new. And not just trivia, not just trivia. Learn, engage with a new way of thinking about your life and about the world and about God. Make space to have God do something new in your mind. Meet someone new. A lot of us have our families and our friends. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Our circles. We have our circles. Meet someone new. Someone who has different experiences of their life and of this world. Try something new. Not just skydiving, try it, go for it. I would love it. Invite me along and I'll take video of you or something. But try a new way of relating to someone else. Try a new way of engaging in the same old arguments or fights or debates. Try something new. Over the next few months, it's time for the church to think about our future. Because the same old traditions are only good if they are creating new life. If they are opening up new dimensions of what it means to be the church and how we serve and bless our neighbors. So we have serious decisions and conversations to have over the next few months about what it means to be the church, especially as our endowment fund has given us a little space to take a breath and say, who do we want to be? What new thing is the Spirit doing in us and through us? What new Pentecost story does the Spirit want to live out in our bodies and in our body? There is nothing worth preserving that doesn't have the potential for new works done by the same old Spirit. And there is no past to return to. There is only a future inspired by the Spirit of the risen Christ. The same old Pentecost story must be our new reality. And so we need to expect it. Expect something new to happen. Make space for something new to happen. Cooperate. Don't just resist. Cooperate with the Spirit who makes all things new. Let's pray. Creator God, Renewer God. We all confess the ways that we want to cling to what we have. We all confess and acknowledge that it's hard to open up our minds and our lives to make space for new things and new ways. And God, we ask that our desire to be faithful would not just be about preservation, that our desire to be faithful would be about cooperation with the Spirit who makes all things new, starting inside of us, moving out into our church, and then out into the world around us. We ask it all in the name of the risen Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, as we approach the table, I want to just clarify from my message what might not have been clear. I'm not suggesting that it is old people who need to try the new things that the young people know all about. Because I know, as a pastor, there are new ways of being pastor that I must embrace. There are new things I must learn. And it's hard for me to let go of old and comfortable ways of thinking and doing. I can see even in children how hard it is to let go of the few things that they're familiar with and explore something new and try something new that might be a little scary and hard. The difficulty of doing and trying new things is for all of us, and so is the Spirit of God that gives courage and power and the promises that God will be with us as we go and try new things and go in new directions. That is for all of us, not just some. And so as we approach the table this morning, this same old table that has the same old, well, it's not that old of bread or drink, but the symbols, the same old symbols of bread and cup, may we remember this morning that, one, it is for us, for all of us who struggle with the new way of Christ. And it's an invitation for forgiveness and grace and new life. And let us also remember that this same old tradition and these same old symbols are meant always to inspire us to new ways of being human and new ways of being church, and to fill us with the courage and the strength to do so.